This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining us. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show, the epic Mason Crosby Show, with one Mitch Thunder Nellis, and a former Packers kicker in Mason Crosby. They are doing that Mason Crosby Show next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. Former Packers punter Tim Mastey is going to be joining at 10:20 a.m. So that's going to be a really fun conversation, just catching up with Tim Mastey, see what he's up to. I love that series that they do, just catching up with former Packer players. So Tim Mastey today at 10:20. Don't miss that one. Also, speaking of things not to miss, coming up on March 1st, an event that you will surely want to attend, Mason and his wife, Molly Crosby, who is a cancer survivor, will be awarded the prestigious Award of Excellence from the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. If you'd like to be a part of this black tie event, simply go to LombardiFoundation.org and get your tickets today. All right. Right now, though, I am so excited to be talking to Janelle Mackey, Pack-A-Day podcast, huge Packers fan, huge hockey fan. You can find her on social media at BigMac_4. Janelle, great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, big hockey fan, so today is a big day, so I'm doing great. Very anxious, very nervous, but very excited to be here with you in the morning.
It is going to be so epic. I want to get to that. We'll talk about that at the end. We'll start with the Packers, then we'll get to hockey, I promise you. You did a very, very fun episode this past week with Eli and Matt. You were recording on Valentine's Day, so it was very appropriate that you did this topic. But you went through some of the Packers' biggest heartbreaks on Valentine's Day. I thought this was very unique and fun. So let's just ruin everyone's morning right away, right here in Milwaukee, and go over some of these heartbreaks. But I just wanted to get your thoughts. What was your biggest? Because I struggle with this from time to time, because being a Packers fan has been a beautiful thing. We've got, you know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, now to Jordan Love. Some unbelievable moments, two Super Bowl wins, three Super Bowl games in total, like in the playoffs almost every single year. But some of the most heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, like just experiences that a sports fan should never have to go through. So, Janelle, let's go through it. What were your biggest Packers heartbreaks?
Yeah, so for me, I think on the show I picked something a little different because I didn't want to talk about Jordy in every category.
But sure, fair.
For me, one of the heartbreaks, anybody who knows me obviously knows Jordy Nelson is my favorite, so him getting cut almost 7 years ago now, which is crazy that so much time has flown by. But yeah, that one had me in immediate tears. It was out of the blue. Wasn't expecting it. So that moment for me was just like the peak heartbreak for me. I do have another game here listed, which I think this game is probably not anybody else's worst game. But for me, it was really heartbreaking. So Jordy Nelson, always the top when it comes to heartbreak.
Fair enough.
Packers have had to so much, and you know me with Jordy, so I'm sure you're not surprised to hear that one. I also put down a game, so for me, I don't know why this one hit so hard, and I think it was just because the season felt like magic, and I was able to go to the Giants game during the wild card season, but that NFC championship game versus the Falcons in the 2016-2017 season, that was another game that one finished, and I was in actual tears. I remember crying to whoever I was watching the game with, because it felt like the magic was over. Like, I really thought that run the table and then beating the Giants and then beating Dallas, I really felt like there was just magic in that season. And for me, that was probably my worst NFC championship game. I know there's a lot to pick from, but for some reason that one is just the one that really emotionally devastated me.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and I love, this is why these things are fun to go over, just to see how like different like these games are for people, because like that one for me, like I felt like they were already playing with house money, and like once they just went down big, I'm like, oh, this is like a rip the band-aid sort of thing. This isn't one of those heartbreakers at the end. This is like one that I am like, by the end of the first quarter, I'm like, oh, I know how this one's gonna go. But I totally get it too. There was a very special run the table up until that point, and trust me, none of these are easy, right? They're always very difficult to kind of get over, especially when you get your hopes up through the course of the season. Do you know the story, by the way, of why Jordy was at least the rumored story, which I've heard corroborated on a couple different occasions, as to why Jordy was released that season?
The only one that I saw was kind of the disrespect of the money, where it's like they offered him very, very low money to come back. I think that he wanted to, and they just couldn't find that middle ground of the negotiation. That's really all that I know for it.
Yeah, so there's actually differing things on that, where even there's been some things with Jordy where he said, like, I probably would have played for the vet minimum in Green Bay if they would have kept me. But it's funny because I hypothesized this prior to it, and I recently found out that there's actually truth to this. But if you go and watch the tape the year before, when Jordy was there and when Devontae was there, it was so annoying, and not in anything that Jordy did wrong or anything like that, but it was so annoying that, like, on every single play, And this is not the annoying part, by the way. It was so annoying that every single play, Devontae was getting open almost like just consistently, almost every single play. And because Jordy and Aaron had their connection, Aaron was looking at Jordy to his side almost every single time as his primary read. Because it was Aaron and Jordy. They had, you know, the special connection together. And Devontae was getting open and getting open, getting open, and not getting the ball his way. And then I swear to you, Jen, I swear to you, every single time he would look Devontae's way on the like the first read would be the one time that Devontae didn't get open. It was the most mind-numbing, frustrating thing that I've ever watched when I went back and watched the tape. And it would happen so much. And so my hypothesis at the time was that, the reason that they moved on from Jordy had really nothing to do with Jordy and had nothing to do with, kind of the salary cap space, was because they needed Aaron to look at Devontae first. And as long as Jordy was on the team, he was not going to look at Devontae first. And I've since heard a very strong report of this, that actually was the case, that they felt like they had to move on from Jordy because as long as Jordy was there, he was going to be the guy that Aaron looked to first, and he wasn't going to look to Devontae. And Devontae was getting open so often and ready to break out in a significant way that they basically had to do it. And that's exactly what they did. And of course, then Devontae broke out in a significant way. So that's my theory on it. That's what I've heard from it. So that's kind of the thought process there as to why Jordy was actually cut.
Yeah, I never heard that. That is super interesting, and obviously I believe what you're saying, and that's crazy. Like, I could go back and watch the tape and probably see the exact same thing, but I mean, it makes sense though, because we did see a jump in Devontae's game after Jordy left. It's like the universe just couldn't let us have both, you know? We had to move on from one target to another, and obviously Rodgers and Adams ended up with a crazy connection. They're best friends now. He's kind of following Rodgers around, and we'll see if that continues, but yeah, that is wild, and it's like, So Jordy could have stayed if Aaron Rodgers would have looked somewhere else. Like, that almost hurts more.
Sorry. There's your biggest heartbreak. I'm just making it more painful as time goes on. Sorry for that, Jen. Let's talk about something a little bit more positive. Obviously, we're getting into this free agency period for Green Bay and how they're going to potentially address this. So I want to ask you, what do you sort of see as the 1A priority for Green Bay to address? And we'll start with that question there.
Yeah, I think I've talked about it on Pack-A-Day a few times as well. But for me, that cornerback position, just with, Jair uncertainty and availability, I said targeting, doesn't need to be a big name per se, but just somebody who can be reliable and available. I think with the room we have now, it's not that there's not talent, but I think that a lot of those guys have kind of hit their ceiling, unless guys like maybe Stokes or Nixon can make a really surprising jump in the offseason. I just think we've seen what we have in that room. There's not, if Jair is not there, it's kind of like the wide receiver situation where if Jair leaves, there's not really a cornerback one. So I think just kind of adding some depth into that room, depth and talent, whether it be somebody that you draft or if you go out and get a free agent, I just think that room needs to be addressed significantly.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting one, too. And they certainly have to address it in some way, because, I mean, right now you're basically looking at, depending on what happens with Jair, you're basically looking at, you know, Carrington Valentine and, you know, Javon Bullard in the slot, Keyshawn Nixon on the outside, and that's it. I mean, you're not basing anything really off of Kalen King or Kamal Haddon or anything like that. So they're going to have to go out and address that in some way, and you would love some competition at the top of that room, a little bit more versatility, a lot more depth. So I think they're going to be pretty aggressive at that spot. Let me ask you then, is there a free agent or trade crush that you've really had so far that you want to see Green Bay go after, whether it's at corner or whether it's at one of these other positions of need?
Yeah, so actually not at corner, but wide receiver. I've kind of been gaslit into thinking that Davante Adams is coming home.
Sure.
So I think that's my big draft crush, or my big free agency crush right now is just it would make sense, because not only do you want Davante back, but what he could bring to that wide receiver room. And I know there was some talk of, you know, what Josh Jacobs was saying, and there's a lot of truth to that, where there's not a true wide receiver one. And I think a lot of us thought for a long time, you know, hey, that's a good thing. We have, you know, a blanket of wide receiver ones, but we just have a blanket of receivers right now. Nobody has really stepped up. And especially with, you know, Watson going down and Dobbs has had concussion issues. So it's like, there's a lot of uncertainty in the wide receiver room going into this year. So I'm fully in on the Davante coming home hype. And it's like, I'm fully prepared to be disappointed and heartbroken when he goes somewhere like, you know, the Rams or the Bills or somewhere, you know, not even remotely close. But yeah, I think that would be my biggest offseason crush right now.
Getting ready for some off-season heartbreak already. That's Janelle Mackey, Packaday Podcast. You can find her on social media at BigMac_4. Just going back to that corner room for just a moment, one of the really key, interesting decisions that Green Bay is going to have is Jair Alexander. Obviously, he's played only half of his games over the last four seasons, missed a bunch of time last year. There seems to be some frustration within the organization, at least per Rob Domofsky in his recent article over on ESPN. How would you like to see this get resolved? Would you like to see Jair back and just kind of pray and hope that he can stay together and actually play the entirety, or at least close to that, the season? Or is it time to move on and kind of go in a different direction?
Yeah, for me, I think I've also addressed this on Packaday a few times, where it's like, I love what Jair brings and his talent. I love it. It's just, it really is just the reliability of his health right now, which is kind of out of his control, which is unfair because he's a great cornerback. But for me, I would rather not have to play against somebody like that. Like, you want a character like that on your team to kind of elevate. And I know he can be, you know, he's got an ego, but sometimes you need that in the player, where he has the ego, but he can back it up with the ability. So I really think if he can be available, I would prefer him to come back, just because of, you know, the type of character that he is. We don't really have somebody else that is like that if he were to leave. So for me personally, if he can stay healthy, I would keep him. You know, he's still under contract, so that's not really the concern right now. But yeah, I personally would rather have him back, because I would hate to have to play against somebody like him. You'd rather have a guy like that on your team than have to face them.
Well, that's such an interesting thing too, because, like, you know, obviously, again, the availability is such a huge issue for Jair. If Jair was healthy, right? If he was just, if you knew that you're going to get healthy Jair, like, where would he be in the top 100 of free agents that are available this year? Like, in the top five? Like, he's probably, healthy Jair is probably in the top five, top 10 of available free agents. I mean, Rasul Douglas is at like number 15. Like, Jair would be one of the top free agents, if not the top free agent on the market, if he was healthy. It's just this weird juxtaposition of, like, he can't stay healthy. So it's this really difficult decision. And I'm very intrigued to see what Green Bay is going to do.
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, I'm really glad I'm not the one who has to make that decision for sure. It doesn't seem like there's any, you know, beef or anything. You know, I double checked Jair's Instagram. It's like he still has all of his Packers photos up. So it's like, it doesn't seem like there's any kind of strain on the relationship, even though it kind of felt that way at the end of the season. But, you know, you're asking him questions when, you know, the season just ended, things didn't go his way. So I think that there's, I don't think that there's any tension, at least from what I've seen, but who knows what's going on behind closed doors. But yeah, it really comes down to his health, which is unfortunate. But yeah, it'll be, you know, I'm going to be on my toes kind of waiting to see what happens with that. But like you said, he would be very quickly off the market if his health wasn't an issue. So I'm hoping that he comes back and he's able to stay healthy. That hasn't been the trend for him, but that would be the most ideal situation.
totally forgot that we are in peak Instagram season, that we've got to keep an eye on anything that's going on with players tearing down all of their former photos on Instagram and any mention of their former teams. Totally forgot that we are in that that phase now. So I'm going to have to get the Insta back up and running just to be able to kind of keep an eye on some of these free agents, I guess. We're again being joined by Janelle Mackey. You can find her on the Saturday Packaday podcast along with Eli Berkovitz and Matt Frelick. You can find her on social media at BigMac_4. All right, really quick before we get to the big hockey games tonight, give me one bold prediction for this Packers offseason. Can go in any direction. What do you got? Bold prediction for this offseason?
Yeah, for me, I just said it would be funny because we're not really talking about this position in the draft, and I have no idea what the pool looks like, but we're so focused on going out and picking up a free agent wide receiver that it would be funny if this is the year that, you know, our wide receiver group is so young that they end up drafting a receiver in the first round. Like, this would be the year that that would happen. It would just be kind of funny, comical. I don't know, maybe adding somebody younger would force the guys who've been around a few years to actually step it up, like they're bringing somebody new in. But that was my bold prediction, just because it doesn't seem like the necessity this year that that would be the year that they do it.
It would be very fun, especially with it being in Green Bay, like you said, like just picture perfect. I could absolutely see it happening. Mm-hmm. Would be funny if this was the year. So we'll see. It could very well be. It's tough to find the right free agent wide receiver that really fits Green Bay perfectly. And maybe it's somebody in the draft, and maybe they just happen to go first round wide receiver for the first time in, I don't know, basically ever, it feels like. Would be very ironic. All right, before we get you out of here, Jen, do want to ask you, Canada, USA tonight. What are your emotions going through? What are you most looking forward to? This is a massive game. I think tickets in Boston are over $800 a seat at the lowest level. Like, this has become something pretty epic pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, the USA-Canada rivalry is, like, I think I looked it up, it's over 100 years old at this point. And from the men to the women, I bet if you put 8-year-olds out there, it would mean just the same. So this rivalry, it's just USA versus Canada. It doesn't matter the level, the gender. It always feels the same. I think it was one of the women a few years ago, maybe during an Olympic run, where they said whether it's, you know, on the big stage or you just put them in a pond in the middle of nowhere somewhere, it's going to mean just the same, just repping your country's sweater. But yeah, this is, I had a tough time falling asleep last night. It's like all I could think about, like waking up on Christmas, this rivalry. I wish more people cared about hockey so that they could enjoy this rivalry. And even if you don't care about hockey, you should be watching this game, because for the first time in a long time, we really do get that best on best, where they're taking the best NHL players from these respective countries and they're matching up. And it's crazy because a lot of these guys who are maybe enemies in the NHL are now teammates and vice versa, having to play against their buddies. But yeah, I mean, the way that these guys are talking, obviously, if you watch the game, you saw 3 fights in 9 seconds broke out in the first matchup. So it's going to be absolutely crazy. These guys talk like it's Game 7. And that's truly what it felt like, that Thursday night matchup. Yep. I felt like I was watching Game 7 overtime for 3 periods of hockey. It was just very stressful. Like, there wasn't a time where I felt like I could breathe. And I'm fully prepared for this one, go into overtime and just, you know, I'm going to be stressed out the entire time. But it's the rivalry that makes it so fun, where it's like, I'm expecting a close game. It's going to be crazy nuts. Like, the guys are going to be physical. And this is their all-star break too, which is funny because they're going to just go back to the NHL in a week here.
Yep.
But yeah, put this giant rivalry game in the middle of the season, and it's been great for the sport.
Yeah, it's been really, really fun to watch. I have, just you talking about it, Chad, I have goosebumps thinking about hockey. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. I have literal goosebumps thinking about a hockey game and just how you're describing it. That atmosphere in Canada last week was unbelievable. It is going to be so fun tonight.
Yeah, I saw you put out a tweet and I was like, oh my gosh, you know how big a game has to be for Andy Herman to be talking about hockey? Like, I just saw so many people who never talk about hockey talking about hockey, and it was just so fun. And yeah, like I said, this rivalry, this is just how it's always been, USA versus Canada. You got the Olympics coming up next year, so it's almost like a preview of that. Yeah, anytime these guys get to rep their country sweaters, it gets crazy. So all bets are off, and I'm expecting a really insane game tonight. So if you didn't plan on watching, you should definitely tune in, because it's going to be probably one for the history books here.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I love playoff hockey. I love international hockey, especially Olympics. Anything like that is always really fun. I get kind of hyped up for it. But nothing ever quite like this. And I'm very, very much excited for tonight's game. All right, before I get you out of here, prediction for the game, who wins, U.S. or Canada?
It's going to be close. And I know, you know, USA has some guys banged up, but they're going to be playing, but they're also losing McAvoy, which is a huge loss. But I feel USA, and not just to be biased, but I do think they have the better goalie matchup as well with Hellebuck, who's, you know, a top three goalie in the league. And thankfully, the other two top three goalies, their countries weren't represented. So unfortunately, they didn't get to play in this tournament. But I think Hellebuck is going to be the difference maker here. I know Canada's getting a huge piece back in Makar. Like I said, I'm fully prepared for this one to go into overtime. But I think it really does come down to the goalie battle there. And I trust Hellebuck a lot more than I trust Binnington with Canada. So I'm going to say USA probably wins in overtime, and the free bird is just going to be blaring throughout the entire country.
Oh, I can't wait. Give me overtime, by the way. Sign me up. Give me more of it. I'm all in if that ends up being the case. Jen, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your work, and what do you got coming out this upcoming week, or anything else you want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, definitely just follow me on Twitter or X at BigMac_4. I kind of drop off a little bit in the Packer content here. But hockey definitely picks up. So like I said, great time for hockey. Follow me there. I'm still with Packaday for the time being until draft season starts. So make sure that you're listening to me on that every Saturday as it stands.
Yeah, go give her a follow. She's unbelievable. At BigMac_4. Jen, we're going to do it again very soon. You have a great rest of your day. All right.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
You're the best. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Packaday radio show of the Nicolet Law Fan Talk and Text Line. Looking forward to answering some questions if you got them. This is the Packaday radio show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.